In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In his book, Wishful Thinking, theologian Frederick Buchner offers this advice about reading Scripture. Don't start looking in the Bible for the answers it gives. Start by listening for the questions it asks. Don't start looking in the Bible for the answers it gives. Start by listening for the questions it asks. As I listened to the gospel from Matthew, I was challenged by the question that was asked at the end. Are you envious because I am generous? And I want to invite you into that question. First, a brief recap of the parable as told by Jesus. A landowner goes out to the marketplace at daybreak to gather day laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing to pay them a day's living wage, he sends them off to work. During the course of the day, however, the landowner returns to the marketplace, surprisingly, four more times, at 9, at noon, at 3, and even at 5, a mere hour before quitting time, and recruits more laborers, promising to pay them each whatever is right at the end of the day. Sure enough, when the workday is over, the landowner instructs his manager to pay the laborers, but he tells them to do it in an odd way. Pay them in reverse order, he tells his manager, starting with those who work the least number of hours and ending with those who put in a full day. The manager proceeds as directed and pays each laborer exactly the same amount. When the laborers who started work at the crack of dawn see this, they are enraged and protest the blatant unfairness of the landowner. These last have worked only 1 hour, they say, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But the landowner deflects their accusations and answers them, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Are you envious because I am generous? So now let's peel away all the layers of the parable to get to the essence of that question. Are you envious because I am generous? As we do so, we must acknowledge that there is no black or white, right or wrong conclusion to that question. Each of us will come to our own opinion depending on your unique perspective. As you recognize your feelings, remember the opening words. Don't start looking in the Bible for the answers it gives. Start by listening for the question it asks. So first, with whom do you most easily relate to in this parable? Do you align yourself with the 10-hour workers, those who arrived early and did a full day's work? Assuming you were a 10-hour worker, how would you feel as those 5 o'clock workers are invited to line up first and receive the same payment as you? Be honest with yourself. We are not told that they were any more needy than you, any less educated than you, or experiencing any more compelling circumstances than yours. The only difference is they worked 1 hour and you work 10. Does this move the conversation to issues of justice, equality, of fairness? But yet, weren't you paid what you were owed? Didn't the landowner fulfill his promise to you? And what about the right of the landowner to be generous with the part-time workers? So on one side, we have the argument of justice, equality, fairness, equal pay for equal work. And then on the other side, the case for personal choice, free will, human need. Where do you put yourself between those two? The foundational issue underneath is, are you envious because he was generous? Are you envious because I am generous? Writer Mary Gordon, in her book, Reading Jesus, calls this an impossible question calling for an impossible honesty. Love that. An impossible question calling for impossible honesty. Because yes, she writes, I am envious because you are generous. I am envious because my work has not been rewarded. I am envious because someone got away with something. Her perspective comes from seeing the world through a lens of justice and equality. I appreciate Mary Gordon's candor, because really, if this parable doesn't agitate us just a little bit, then we're not paying attention. After all, we know how the world is supposed to work. Time is money and fair is fair. But we also know, as Christians, generosity is a virtue and envy is a sin. The well-known Episcopal priest, Barbara Brown Taylor, says that this parable is a little like the cod liver oil. Stay with me. A little like the cod liver oil that mothers used to give their kids to cure what ailed them. You know it's good for you. You trust the one who is giving it to you, but that doesn't make it very easy to swallow, even so. She goes on to say, most of us are born into this world with a huge sense of infantile entitlement, followed at a very early age by already a seemingly intuitive sense of fairness and unfairness. It's like Charlie Brown's little sister, Sally, in the classic Charlie Brown Christmas special. You may recall that at one point, Sally is writing a letter to Santa Claus, and in the process generates an enormous list of toys she wants. Then at the conclusion of her letter, she writes, "But if that's too much to carry, just send cash." When Charlie Brown sees this and despairs over his own sister's greed, Sally responds, "All I want is my fair share. All I want is what I have coming to me." So I have no concluding summary for how each of us might respond to the ethically based and yet theologically centered significance of this parable. For me, it heightens my awareness of holding the tension between equality and generosity within each unique situation. And it affirms that perspective that Scripture does not always have the answer, but rather we should listen for the question it raises. I end with a personal story about my paternal grandmother. Granny was an unsophisticated, small woman who grew up in rural Virginia. She was such a sweet and loving person. My grandfather, on the other hand, was a strong, tall, distinguished-looking Virginia gentleman. Together, they had four big, athletic, competitive sons within 7 years, one of whom obviously was my father. No doubt that household was more than a handful for dear Granny. The story goes that at some point, my petite, sweet grandmother was asked which son she loved the best. Her answer was, "The one that needs me the most at the time." I think that response is the best illustration of threading the needle between equality and generosity. Amen.